you. And good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here. As you just heard, it's actually the first time for me to be to this conference, and came in very late yesterday night from Europe and didn't recognize until this morning what a beautiful place it is when I look outside the window. So I should stay a little bit longer, or maybe I should have come in a little bit earlier. It was a nice place. Okay, good. So thank you for having me. What I would like to do here is talk a little bit about 3M, of course, and then take your comments and questions. First of all, what I would like to do is just to pay attention to the vision that we laid out as an enterprise a couple of years ago, because it's important, linked to the enablers, meaning six strategies in terms of what we try to go. And in terms of our vision, it's basically calling out what we do, how we do it, and where we do it, which the vision is all about. It should also be related to a competitive advantage you have, should be holistic, and should be authentic to you as an enterprise. And when you think about 3M's portfolio, both in terms of product breadth and geographical depth, I think this vision is calling it out very well. So this is about what we do, which is basically advancing, enhancing, and improving. That's what 3Mers for 112 years have been waking up every morning and ask themselves how they can do that. The center of our plan is actually research and development of technologies. And you see, we do it by technology, products, and innovation. And then where we can do it is basically with and for every company around the world, in and for every home, and in and for every life. And every life for us is, of course, healthcare, is schooling, but it's also around sustainability, and it's around sustainability and community. In terms of every home, most people are thinking initially around Scotch-Brite, Scotch, Feel Treat, etc., but it's much more. It's products going into homes where we are specified into other companies' product lines. Is that refrigerators, stoves, air conditions, etc.? And in terms of every company, if that's a very sophisticated company that are working with big platforms and or smaller companies, we can always help them with solutions that are very cost effective for them. So for us, in terms of the vision, it's important for us in order to guide the organization. That is then enabled by six strategies, and the strategies are important for us. The four first ones are all about growth, and the articulation is important. You can see words there like customer, and you see the word relevance. You see market share, but you see profitable market share. You see global capabilities and build-outs. You see operational excellence, and you see people. So the four first strategies are all around growth. The fifth one is around people, our employees, and the last one is around operational excellence. They are strategies from a high level, but they're all operationalized into the enterprise, meaning the metrics and tools are very clear, and in fact were developed by the organization after we launched the six strategies from a top level. Now, when you think about 3M, there's a couple of things that are fundamental strengths, and they are technology, manufacturing, global capabilities, and brand. But yes, let's pause for 1 second and just think about them. When we talk about technologies, this is our ability to combine different technologies in order to develop new products and solutions. So based on our 45 technology platforms, that's what we can do. Technology platforms are not owned by any single division, they're owned by the company. Everyone can use them in order to find solutions with their customers. And this is a fundamentally very important thing for 3M. 3M is a company that creates technology platforms, develop technology platforms, and also in many cases using them ourselves. But equally important, let our customers use them. That is what we call open innovation, and we have done that for many, many years. It's a key element for 3M's primary objective in order to give you a high return on your investment. Manufacturing is an important element for us. We have a big footprint, and you can see there is a lot of process capabilities, and many of them are trade secrets. One of the key elements for us, in order for us to produce products that are very cost effective, but also adding value to our customers. We do a lot roll to roll and are probably the best in the world relative to the technologies around that. The global capabilities is around the subsidiary network around the world, where everyone in the 3M world can use the capabilities that we have built for many, many years. Front end and back end is what is very important. So we can start our businesses, capitalize it around the world, and every business of the 35 divisions can utilize the infrastructure that is in place. And then finally, the brand. Global brand that is very important. If that's a corporate brand in terms of Post-it or Scotch or Filtrete, or if it's a very specific brand into a special area, healthcare, Littmann stethoscope, Micropore tape, Tegaderm dressing, etc. So wherever it is, the branding is an important element for 3M. So here's the four elements that actually are the fundamental strengths of 3M in a very vertical integrated model that we're using, and is a key to the success for many, many years of the return we have given to the shareholders. Now, November 8, 2012, we gave you the new guidance relative to the five-year plan. And we are on track in order to move versus that direction. And as you remember, we gave you a 9 to 11 EPS growth target. We gave you organic revenue growth of 4 to 6, around 20% return on invested capital, and then around 100% cash flow. That was the plan we laid out then for 13 and 17, and we are sticking to our plan. We do not change that, and we are well on track in order to be able to deliver this. And I feel personally very good relative to our progress towards it. Now, there is key levers for us for the future in order to even further increase the shareholder value. The first one is portfolio management, and I will come back and make some comment around that. The second one is investing in innovation or research and development with the outcome of innovation. And then thirdly, business transformation, which is all about efficiency, productivity, in a much more effective 3M as we go ahead. Those three key levers are very important for us as we move ahead, and in fact are imperatives in the company. So when you think about it as we go forward to create more value, those three things will be very important for us. If you look upon the businesses, you can see we have five business groups today, and you can see the relative size of them from industrial of 10.6 billion, healthcare 5.3 billion, consumer 4.4 billion, safety and graphics 5.7 billion, and electronics and energy 5.4 billion. And you can see the target we have laid out in the plan is 4 to 6% organic local currency growth. And we see clearly a step up relative to come to that target as we move ahead. And I personally are very pleased of the performance we are having. You can also see for the different businesses what we laid out in the expectation as we move ahead. And most of them are right in the spot relative to the corporate guidance, but some, like healthcare, has a slightly higher estimation as we move ahead. Now, let me talk about the first lever. Corporate portfolio management, something we did 2 years ago where we really looked back on the businesses and identified them, and we categorized them in a couple of groups. One is the Heartland Divisions, which is five divisions in the company, stands for one-third of our business and slightly more in terms of our profitability. Big, sizable businesses, very profitable, utilize multiple 3M technology platforms, strong brand equity, global scale and leverage, and very, very good businesses for us. They are, anyhow, in businesses that are growing slightly slower as a marketplace versus what 3M would like to do at the current pace relative to the 4 to 6 as we move ahead. Push forward are businesses that you can categorize very much like the Heartland Division, with the differences that they are in markets that are growing faster than we would like to move the company, and faster than the Heartland Divisions. We are relatively small on a global scale, meaning that we have big opportunities as we move ahead and need to prioritize that as business opportunities and investments. And then we identify businesses under strategic review that when we started the process was around 2.5 billion. Businesses that are doing very, very well, but in relative terms to 3M and our return have lagged a little bit the last 5 years. All are profitable, all doing well, and I would say in many other portfolios maybe will be one of the stars. For us, however, in the way of a competitive set, we type of went back and look upon them to say, why are they not at least be able to perform at the average of 3M? Then you look upon the growth as we have laid out for the future and in the past, and we categorize them in developed and developing economies. And you can see when we went back to 2003, 21% of our business at that time were in developing economy. As we speak today, that's 35%. So the build-out of the businesses have really accelerated. And you can see as we move forward to 2017, we believe that's 40 to 45%. So an incredible plan in terms of making sure that we capitalize on one of our strengths, which is our global reach and capabilities around the world. Now, why that's important is that all of us know, but it's not always the way we think about it, the evolution of an economy. The economy's evolution in every country is basically starting always with that you have to build the infrastructure. When the infrastructure is in place, that is when manufacturing, broad-based, are willing to invest. When they have invest specifically from more developed countries, safety regulations are coming in place. After that, when people have got their incomes and they can spend money, the retail and consumer business start to take off. And then finally, the healthcare regulations start to build out. There have always been healthcare in those countries, but they've been at a different level. If you think about that evolution, and I've lived many places around the world, and I think this model was actually built on my own experience as I saw countries be built out over time, our portfolio is following every step of the way in that evolution. If it's traffic safety systems or our telecom business, when you're into infrastructure, if it's the whole industrial business, that is one-third of our business, when industry is starting to investing, or if it's safety regulation where our personal safety businesses, and the whole way up to our healthcare business, that is our most profitable business, this is very good for us as we're building out the businesses and being able to prove that for many, many years that this is a model that is working very well for us. Now, we also made a statement relative to investment in research and development. Research and development is the heartbeat of 3M, and it's an important element for us in order to continue to drive organic growth. And it's also one element why we are able to return premium to you as shareholders. We have historically spent around 5.5 to 5.6% in research and development, and last year that was like 1.7 billion. And one thing that our model is not doing is to compromise our investment in research and development, because in a way that is a key element together with our people for the future in order to have a competitive differentiation. We made a commitment to move that closer to 6% as we move ahead. And of course, we have three elements we look into here. We are looking upon to develop products for existing markets. We're looking for new product for existing and adjacent market. And then the new investment should go to new products for new markets and relative to investment for disruptive technologies. Very important to make sure that this is happening, and it's actually investment on a corporate level where we make sure that the money is floating back into the laboratories in each division as we go ahead. As organic growth is the prime driver for 3M, this is a very important element that we continue for the future. Now, we will complement with acquisitions as well as we go, and it will be built based on the portfolio prioritization that we have done. So that work is in place, and we know now very much where businesses are and what needs to be done as we move ahead. It should be in relevant targeted areas, should be high growth spaces and or technologies that could be leveraged across the company. And then as we now have enhanced integration capabilities, we start to feel that we can do slightly bigger acquisitions than in the past. If you recall that people that followed us the last 6 years up to 2012 or 2011, we had done maybe 60 or 70 acquisitions. Most of them were smaller, I would say, so it took a lot of time in order to integrate them. And we believe now as we move ahead, based on the portfolio analysis we have done, that we are ready to go slightly bigger and with a good team in place that can take them and integrate them more effectively. So you think about it, if you think about portfolio intent, should be heartland boost of a technology and into adjacencies. And for push forward should be our ability to build out the penetration around the world. We have also changed the process where in the past the process was very much a bottom-up, which we continue to do, but we have also accelerated top-down corporate structure in order to make sure that we can look upon potential opportunities that are crossing multiple business groups and divisions. And then, of course, we would like to create value and maximize that and be able to do that faster, and that's also why we form this team in terms of integration, and that those capabilities are now very good, I would say, and we have some practices around that. The third lever is our business transformation enabled by the SAP system, and this is an important element for us in terms of efficiency as we move ahead. And you can see here is very much also relative to planning for customer intimacy, but in addition is relative to efficiency in the back office and the whole organization. So this is an important element for us as we move forward, and the end goal for us here is savings around 500 million in operating income and half a billion in cash, and it's a 7-year plan as we roll that out. The other thing that we have done during the last 18 to 24 months is to step back and take a view relative to Lean Six Sigma. Operational excellence is well embedded in 3M, and I think we can say that we are well known for what we are doing, and we are doing it very well. 3M is a company that are very process-oriented and very good at project management. Relative to Lean Six Sigma, we are now focusing even more, and you can see specifically into manufacturing. We have a big manufacturing footprint, and we believe here's even more opportunities for us as we move ahead. And as we are doing that, we're looking for lean relative to wall-to-wall in the facilities, and we're also looking into the whole supply chain opportunity. And you can see here that we have ramped up our black belts quite a bit since the ending of 2011 and up today. So we're adding more black belts, so we're up closely to 500 as we speak. And when we're coming and talking about our shareholders and what we are giving back to the shareholders, you can see that we have a very good history relative to what we have done. We have, for the last couple of years, made sure, you can see here for the cash dividend that we have returned $14 billion during the time past decade. You can also see that 2014 we have a cash dividend estimation of $2.3 billion. We all know that we have had an increase for the 56th consecutive year this year relative to dividends. You can also see relative to our stock repurchases that we announced effective this year 35% increase, and that is coming after some very good history of what we have done in the past. So we believe we are in a good place relative to returning cash to shareholders, and we have proven that over a long period of time, and are happy to continue to do so as we move ahead. When we look upon the result for the first quarter of this year, you can see the good thing for us was we had organic local currency growth in all geographical areas and all businesses. For us, that's a very good thing, and it's start now to see that growth are coming both from the businesses and geographical perspective. You can see that healthcare led away with a 6% organic local currency growth, and industrial and safety and graphics both had 5%, electronic and energy 4%, and then consumer 3%. From a geographical perspective, APAC had 7%, Latin America, Canada 7%, Europe, Middle East, Africa, 4, and United States, 3. You can see that operating margins went to 21.9, so an increase from last year on a very high base, meaning that our model is working. And then you can see we returned $2.3 billion of cash to shareholders via dividends and share repurchases. And we increased the dividend by 35% in the quarter. So by that, I hold it there, and then we take questions and try to answer them from you. So thank you very much.
Hey, Inge.
Hi.
Over here. So, you know, you brought some strategic focus and prioritization to the organization that was lacking previously. Over here.
Yeah, there. Okay.
What's the status update in terms of how you view the response of the organization? What's changing? How are things running differently? What are the benefits you're seeing materialize?
Yeah, I think the response is very good. And I think one of the reasons for that was the way it was laid out was basically a top-down message relative to where we needed to go, but also very early total engagement from the whole organization relative to making sure that we got the right tools and metrics in place in order to be able to deliver it. And I, for once, believe in teamwork, and I believe that was an important element for us to get the top leaders in the company together in order to take it on and start to believe in that. If you think about it from a message on a higher level, when you have a vision that is clear, you have six strategies that are articulated in a way that there is no doubt relative to what needs to be done, and you talk about three levers: portfolio management, invest in research and development, and business transformation. When you have those things together for an organization of 85,000 plus people around the world, people know what needs to be done, and they understand why. And my message has been the whole time to the organization, I would not just like you to know what time it is. I would like you to know how the watch is working. So I have a very comprehensive plan relative to our communication and buy-in. So I would say to your question, yes, it's going very well. People are behind it, and they understand what needs to be done. I would not say before that there was lack of discipline. There was a discipline. 3M is known for discipline. And we are known for processes, and we are known for project management. But I think there was the clarity relative where we tried to go. And I personally believe it's very, very important. I think it's sometimes people look upon a vision and type of just go on. We have made sure that it's talked about, people understand it, people can talk about it and educate the rest of the organization. I also would like them to know why certain investments are coming and some are not coming based on the prioritization. And 3M, I would say, generally speaking, if you talk about the DNA, we like that. We like clarity relative what needs to be done, and that's what we have tried to do. So I feel good about it. People went on also relative to what needed to be done of portfolio management very specifically, and even businesses, as you can imagine, where you are in a category of strategic review, will first be a little bit surprised when they understood it's not personal, it's just business. They went on it and worked very, very well in order to improve the situation. So I'm pleased with it, and in my view, it's going very, very well. Still work to be done, but...
Yes, Inge, over here.
Hi.
I have a two-part question regarding your M&A playbook. And the first one is, there's been this perception, and maybe it's a myth, that within 3M, because of the R&D focus, there's a little bit of the not invented here syndrome, that there's some pushback about buying new technologies from the outside. So that's the first question. And the second one is, maybe this dispels this, that myth, is the success with the Ceradyne acquisition. Just give us a sense on how that business has been integrated, how many different platforms are using that technology. And I know it's been a big success, but where has it fallen short of expectations? So two-part question.
Yeah, I think on your first question, I think that for... When there is an enterprise that has been successful for so many years around research and development, in a way, even if you don't like it to be there, I think there's something around, well, we know how to do this better than anyone else. We have worked hard the last 8 years in order to change that, and we are making good progress. In fact, we formed a special office maybe 7 years ago, which is around placed in Munich in Germany, relative to new business ventures, where we try to look upon technologies that we can add into the company. So I would say, generally speaking, I wouldn't hide to say, no, it's not there. I think it's in many, many companies, and of course in 3M as well, which is one of the best in the world relative to technologies, but we are working on it. Relative to Ceradyne, was a technology play, if you like. So the front end was more around defense and some other businesses, but it was a technology play, and it's now rolled out in multiple divisions. I think it's around 9 divisions today that are looking into those opportunities. And I think, generally speaking, I am pleased with it. I think, again, where you eventually can do even better as you move ahead is to make sure that you go back to the 4 level that I talked about in terms of technology, manufacturing, brand, and global capabilities, and make sure that you level those opportunities faster. And I think you need to know them in order to be able to level them as fast as possible in the process. But they're also important when those 4 elements are also important when we look upon potential acquisition to say, well, where and how can we create more value through those 4 elements that are strings of 3M?
I think I got it here. Just a question back on capital allocation. I mean, I think you get big kudos for not being kind of hamstrung by the M&A environment. You've kind of chosen almost all of the above. You dividend, share repurchase, you aspire to do deals. But I do want to kind of come back around the valuation. And kind of the nature of my question is, you know, you're buying back your stock at roughly a, you know, 5.5% earnings yield, call it. So, I mean, that's not hugely accretive arithmetically if you look over time. And given that dynamic, does it kind of change your context on what you'd pay for deals? You know, you kind of went through what you're looking for deals and how you'd integrate them, but really the economics of the arithmetic around the deals, is there any change in your view of, you know, what you would pay, how you would structure deals or anything along those lines?
Yeah. Well, I think, first of all, we have very high confidence in 3M as we move ahead, right? So when you think about it in terms of share repurchases first quarter, that was $1.7 billion. And today the stock is 141 or something. But that was at the level of 123 at the point in the first quarter. So I don't feel bad about that piece, and we have high confidence as we move ahead. Relative to the multiples on acquisition, I think it's important to think about they will all be different. They could be different relative for what the real value will be for you. For us, that will be businesses that are in market spaces where we will have a sustainable end market as we go ahead, where we can build out and become the leader in that business and connect it to the strengths of our company. So you take those 4 elements I talked about, that's what we have to look upon it and say, okay, can we capitalize on this? And what will the additional value be? And as we move ahead, the end market should be sustainable and solid as you move ahead and has a growth element into it and should be accretive in terms of growth for the corporation as we move ahead. Then I think in that space you will say, okay, are you willing to pay a little bit more or a little bit less? So I think those are the elements that you have to think about. In terms of the 5 business groups, in terms of interests, we know how to do business very well in the industrial space. We know that. We are big. We can leverage our capabilities. We know how to do it. Healthcare is a big, interesting portion for us as we move ahead. Very high margins for us. We have a fantastic base in that whole business. And I don't think we would like to do our portfolio more volatile as we move ahead. So volatility is not in the scorecard in terms of buying something. The rest, I would say, we are open to look upon it, but I need to make sure it linked into the strengths of 3M and how we can create value in that space. Now, the multiples have been high, and we are very careful relative to how we spend those money as we move ahead. So,
Inge, one of the things you know you've been talking about is regional self-sufficiency, and it's an interesting concept and buzzword, but I kind of don't get it. I mean, what does it? How do you do this without duplicating R&D functions, duplicating some G&A, building up too much infrastructure, so you're not really levering the base, yeah. You know, the home base, whatever you know, regional headquarters you have. I mean, can you explain it maybe a little bit more detail?
Yeah. First of all, our strategy is a domestic strategy. So what we do, we invest around the world in order to capitalize on the domestic market. So we never invest one place in order to export based on low labor cost or flexibility and so forth. So prime thing for us, invest in the local market. And as we have done so over the years, we have expanded outside of the United States. We never left the United States. And to be honest, where I'm staying today, I'm very pleased that the domestic strategy was around building out in international, not reducing in the United States. I think that's an important element. Now, all customers, by definition, are local in the way of purchasing initiative and decisions. That is where you need to be able to hold them accountable in the local organization of what they are doing. But you should think about our businesses maybe in two elements. You have big global companies that are working with platforms around the world. They are specced in at a certain place. They're producing other places. That's one element. That is where you have to make sure that you don't duplicate your efforts in order to help and serve them from research and development. They have demand on you relative to supply chain and manufacturing. Need to be local. Then you have the other portion of our business, I would call domestic, local consumables, where you have to adapt very much to the local market. That is where you need to invest. So you have a good point of saying you cannot and we will not duplicate for the big platforms around the world with more than that the customers are asking us to do it. Then that's a different thing. And I can tell you, I was one of the individuals in 3M that was sent to Europe 2002 to restructure West Europe at that time based on too much infrastructure. Fundamentally, that changed me as a leader. It was 7 quarters of very little sleep and very emotional because you impacted a lot of people's life, right? So when I came there beginning of 2002, we had 22,000 employees. And after 7 quarters, we had reduced them to 4,500. If you do that yourself, be part of that, you will the whole time ask a lot of questions relative to infrastructure because you would not like to do it again and you wouldn't like to send anyone else to do it. So you have a big, and I think that's one of the things that is very important for 3M is to stay lean, and I'm asking, and management are asking the whole time, everything that is coming around things, we're not sure if it adds value, we have to ask the question, are the customers willing to pay for that? If the answer is no, don't do it. So.
Hi, Inge.
Yep.
Right here.
Hey.
So on the, if I think about your cost structure and your strategic investments, it seems like you've got quite a bit of flexibility in your cost structure if for some reason organic growth were to slow. So I think about all the R&D, the restructuring, ERP, supply chain. Maybe comment on the accuracy of that statement. And then secondly, when I went out and visited your Pudge facility a few weeks ago, a big focus was Lean 2.0. So perhaps you know, try to give us some thoughts around the opportunity with Lean, the second version of Lean across your portfolio.
Yeah. Well, coming back to your first question, I would say that when you think about what we have done over many years, we are able to deliver our promise on an annual base or quarterly base, and at the same time, taking action relative to, I would call, strategic investment. And I think you call them out of, if you look upon lately in the last quarter, we had investment in R&D, what we call I3. We had restructuring in some parts of West Europe. We had investment in the ERP system, and we had one other activities going on to the European Supply Chain Initiative. That was an important element for us to do at the same time as we delivered the call. So I think it's important for us to do those type of things. And you may be right to say if growth really, really will slow down for us, maybe that's something that you could do, but ideally you would like to continue to invest for the future. So running a business is like putting on the glasses, and you have on one side of the glasses you have a telescope, the other side you have a microscope, right? So that's what you have, telescope and microscope. And if you constantly run with a microscope, you will not invest in the future, which is good for shareholders and the company. So you cannot run it with a telescope the whole time either. So you have to do both. And I think we have been able to successfully do it, and I hope we can continue to do so. I hope that we don't need to slow down strategic investment due to lack of growth. But it's not only when growth not is coming, you squeeze everything. You squeeze everything. If you run a business, if growth not is coming, you're committed to deliver. You are squeezing everything. That's not a good place to be, right? So I hope we will not come there, and I think we have very, very good good momentum as we speak. And your second question? Yeah, well, you know, so we are revamping Lean Six Sigma specifically into manufacturing, and I believe and we believe there's big opportunities, and it's like, in one way, it's just starting again after we have had many. We went from a Six Sigma initiative in the company that was absolutely imperative for everyone to do until a movement of, well, it's please use it if you see it's adding value. What we are doing now is to move it back as a very important tool specifically in manufacturing. And as you think about our big manufacturing operation, there is good opportunities for us as we move ahead. And it's not specifically into one business or one division. It's broad-based. And we appointed Jerome Hamilton almost 2 years ago now to start to ramp that up. And I believe we have big opportunities in international specifically as we build out capabilities the last 10 years or so. And as you're coming up now, a slightly different model, if you like, in developing economies, they need to drive more productivity and efficiency in the whole organization, but specifically in manufacturing.
Inga, we have three final questions from buy side in the audience. The first one is just on market trends. Can you comment on where you're seeing the biggest pockets of strength right now and weakness globally?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you look upon our first quarter, and then I look out a little bit, you know, we had in West Europe, we had 3% organic local currency growth the first quarter. And we have guided a year flat to 3. So when you go 3 in West Europe, even if it's a low figure, that's pretty good. And it looked like it, we maybe can hold us there as we go for the year. In the first quarter, industrial was very strong in West Europe, specifically automotive, abrasives, and personal safety. And so it's type of industry related. So that felt relatively good, I would say. Asia had a 7% growth for the quarter. And when we looked upon, if you take, that's APAC, right? So you look upon China was 2% all in, but 8% base business, which is a tick up versus last year. We had 7, we went to 8. It looked like that for the year will be mid to high single digit for us. Japan had a very good strong quarter. There was a couple of things that happening. One, they have a change in the VIT system, there was also a comparison that was weaker. So I think as we go ahead for the year, maybe we should think about them as low to mid single digit. United States for us had a 3% growth, which was on the lower end of our guidance. I'm not overly concerned about that because the impact of that was two things. One was construction business, and specifically for us relative to traffic safety system. And then there was the traffic in the stores, right, what had another impact. And it looked like that's coming back. Latin America is steady as we go, a little bit slower growth than in the past, but we had Mexico at 15%, we had Brazil at 11%, and that's a pretty good figure. So I think it looks good. We have 4.6 in the quarter, which is for me a relatively good start, and came at the same level as we ended. We ended last year much stronger than we started, right? So I feel the momentum in terms of growth, and it feels good just now. But again, who knows what will happen?
The second question is around 3M has said in the past that it can be hard to split out divisions given how interlinked the businesses are often on the technology or process front. How realistic is divestment for the ones that you've got in that lower left quadrant of your strategic review to overcome that?
Well, first of all, the objective, if you're in that corner, is not to be sold. The objective is to fix it, right? So we have a process in place where we say, okay, can we fix it standalone? Should we combine it with something else? Why are you not relevant? And I think the last portion is you maybe have to divest. We divested the fishing business, so it was very realistic, right? Very realistic it was there, and it could happen. But the objective is not to sell them. Objective is to move them forward. Now, if you go back to the four elements I talked about, that will be the answer to the question, how difficult will it be, right, in terms of the value of what we are adding there. But in some cases, maybe no one else can add as much value as we can to that specific business.
Is there a hard and fast decision point that you're expecting in terms of the fix versus other options?
Yeah, we have a process in place internally, as we have for acquisitions, where we go through elements. So it's a very robust process in place where we make decisions relative to what it would take to stay in business. And I can tell you, if you're leading a business in 3M today, if you are in a category where you have a challenging situation, honestly, people like that we paid attention because they feel it like we helped them, right? So if you have a big enterprise, I think the worst thing, I've led businesses many places around the world. If you're not successful over here, the worst thing is when management do not really pay attention and try to help out. We are doing that. So that's why I also feel that there is very good momentum in the company. But the process is very much improved during the last 2 years.
Inga, thanks so much. We appreciate having you.
Okay. Thank you.